Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Life Community Church. If you're in the lobby, come join us. So it's good to have you all here as we hear the rain over our heads. My name is Tom. I'm the teaching pastor at Life Community Church. And if you're new with us, we've got these welcome cards that maybe you got on the way in. If not, there's some at the doors. We would love to get to know you. It's just a space to at the bottom there for you to give us your name. Keep the top. It's got some information about things that are going on around here. We've got a great morning this morning. Great day yesterday at the Harvest Festival with the Hilliard Food Pantry. Thanks to everybody who came out and helped with that. That was just a great opportunity in our community. But today, we're going to continue our series. This is a series we called Little Books and Big Messages. It's all the books of the New Testament that are just one chapter long, these short little letters that were written to different people or communities in the first century, and how just because they're short doesn't mean that they don't have a powerful message. And so Josh is going to lead us today in the Word. He's going to finish up Philemon, which we started last week. So,
well, good morning. Buenos dias. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh Rodriguez. I'm a part of the teaching team here at Life Community Church, and just honored to be able to be here today and to share with you. We're starting to approach the end of the year. You get about to mid-October. This tends to be maybe perhaps the season for you, maybe perhaps the season for me, when you can be a little reflective. You can be thinking about maybe some of the things that you had hoped to get done this year, maybe some of the things that you meant to get to, the things you could have done, maybe the things that you should have done. Perhaps if you think about health, how did you do? Was there something that you intended to do with maybe how you ate? And so if you think about how the previous year has gone, did you eat a little bit better? How did you do with your vegetables? Anybody do good with vegetables a little more? Okay, so we got a couple. How about snacks? Did anybody do real good with snacks? Okay, got a few more that are willing to admit that. How about rest? When you think of this past year, was that something that you were hoping to do a little more? To be more intentional, to lay down a little earlier or get maybe a little more sleep? Perhaps it was exercise. Maybe you went and got the exercise clothes. That was a step. Or you got the gym membership, but you're still kind of getting there. Me as well. How about relationally? I'm thinking of some of the times I've been able to meet some new neighbors and get to have some conversations with them, but now it's starting to get cold, so I think of those that I didn't get to talk to as much as I'd hoped. Or maybe relationally, getting a phone call to a friend, or maybe even spending some more time with family. And how about spiritually? Perhaps this year, one of your goals and something that you meant to do or could have done, you intended to get back into more, get more into church, perhaps get connected into one of the life groups, read more or pray more. You see, these things are not maybe too much of a surprise to us. These could be things that we know, but even though we know them, I would probably say this: there could be, you could almost put them in this group, and maybe you've heard or been familiar with this term, there are things that are easier what? Easier said than done. It's something you could do, it's something that you should do, but again, it's just something a little easier said than done. You get something brand new and the instructions say 5 easy steps. It'll only take you 20 minutes. Again, that might fall in this category, a little easier said than done. Well, last week, if you were here, I imagine you were encouraged like I was encouraged, because there was 6 people that were baptized. And they took a big step. A step here in public in front of some people that they knew and people that they did not know, but they know that's what they could do and that's what they should do. And they went ahead and took that step of baptism. And you could say, boy, that's a whole lot easier said than done. And yet they went forward and did that. And perhaps some of you, when it comes to that thought of public speaking, you would say, no, that's not for me. Easier said than done. Or how about, what if we try something? What if I asked for a volunteer? Maybe you would put that right underneath the same category of that is easier said than done. Now, when I'm thinking of a volunteer, you don't want to go to somebody who's eager to do that. That's too easy. But maybe you want to look at who is the person that is completely avoiding eye contact now. Because they don't want to be the one. Their blood pressure has already gone up. And we do have a medical team here, so you're okay. But just going this direction has taken that heart rate up another notch. And as you are getting more tense, they are getting more relaxed. So that's not exactly fair. Easier said than done. And now as I go this way, they are breathing a lot easier. Or maybe those in the back are saying, he's not going to go all the way back here. And you are terrified. And so I'm going to avoid because I can see the panic in some of your eyes. And I'm going to head this direction because you don't know. What is he going to do? What is he going to ask of me? Is it a big thing or is it a small thing? And he's coming back my direction, and I don't like that. But it's easier said than done to take a step, whether it's a small step or a big step. But yet I'm going to ask for a small step of one of you. Who wants to be the one? Who doesn't want to be the one? I'll go to this guy right over here. He looks like he'd be interested in doing something. And all I need for you to do is grab something in this box for me.
Okay.
I want you to grab two of those. Okay. What you got there?
Something very cold.
Very cold. Yeah, something nice and refreshing. And all I need for you to do for me is, can you open mine? Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Easier said than done, right?
It's okay. Big.
And just to kind of help us out, your name's Dan, correct? Dan? Okay, gotcha. Dan, since you've taken a step, could you refresh someone who looks like they could... Maybe you could raise your hand and say, that looks good. I didn't bring my water. Dan, just refresh somebody with that for me. Now, thanks for just enduring that slight bit of pain as your heart rate went up. But sometimes when we take small steps and big steps, we can overthink them. They can terrify us. But there are some very big steps and bold steps. It's not just saying yes and volunteering on a Sunday morning. It's not this thing over here or this thing over there, but there are some times when we can make a huge step that can make a huge impact, and one of those things involves forgiveness. That's the kind of thing that can really change things. It can turn lives and people just completely upside down. And whether you're familiar to the faith or new to the faith, the giving and receiving of forgiveness, it dramatically changes things and changes lives. But maybe we still need to put that in this category. For forgiveness, Josh, that is easier said than done in this relationship, in this place, and over here. And I want to acknowledge that, but I want to urge us, and we're going to look at the text here to see what it says, because perhaps those are the very steps that we desperately need. Because what if that is what we need the most? To be forgiven by God and others. Or not only to be forgiven, but to be forgiving. Where somebody has wronged us and we need to receive that forgiveness. So today we're going to look and get a reminder of forgiveness. And you're going to find it in a very unexpected place. It's in a book called Philemon. Has everybody heard of Philemon? Maybe you haven't done a very big study on it. How do you find Philemon in the book of the Bible? It's actually one of the last, if you look at the last, it's easier to find it if you start in the very back, okay? And if you've grown up in a small town, one of those small towns where if you blink, you miss it, well, in your Bible, if your pages are stuck together, you might miss Philemon. It's that short. And if you guys can help me out, you would start in the back with Revelation. What's right in front of Revelation? Jude. Jude is a very short book. We're going to be going in that as well. There are three Johns. We're going to go through a couple of the Johns in the coming weeks as well. Then there's Peter. And then we also have Philemon, Hebrews, James. So if you can find Hebrews and James, Philemon is that one book right in front of that, okay? We can't miss that. And this is part of this series that we've just started, that there are these little books, but there are some huge, big messages that we need to look at. So we're going to be in Philemon, and it's only one chapter, but we're going to start at verse 8. If you found that in your Bible, on your device, we also have the words up on the screen. So I'm going to read a couple verses here, and we'll see what it has for us and what it says. Verse 8 says it this way. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Paul has an ask. He has an appeal. And right at the beginning of the text, it's as if we've started it in the middle of the letter. So what has happened? And Tom began this series last week. And what he did is he described these opening verses of this very short book. And we have the word where we started in verse 8, therefore. So what happened? What was preceding? What is this therefore? What is it there for? And when we look to see what has just happened, a little bit of the background is this, that this is a short letter and it's written from Paul. At one time, Paul was a very passionate enemy of those who were following Jesus, so much so that he would have them imprisoned. He would have some of them beaten or even put to death. And one day, Paul miraculously met Jesus, and he was struck blind. A man named Ananias, a follower of Jesus, was called to go and meet Paul. And he was a little cautious because he had heard some of the news of this man. And when he went and met Paul, he healed him, led him to salvation. Paul was later baptized, and later Paul would become one of the most passionate evangelists of the gospel and the good news, and would go traveling, sharing that good news to all parts of the world. And one of the people that he had met, who had become saved through Paul, was a man named Philemon, and that's who we heard about last week. And those opening verses actually described a little bit of Philemon. And here's what you would find. In verse 4, it says it like this. When Paul thinks of Philemon, when he thinks of him, he is thankful. Verse 5, that he has a love for Jesus and others. That he's a partner in the faith. And that he refreshes the hearts of others. That kind of description of a person, of this one Philemon, it kind of leads me to this question. Who is someone like that? Who is someone that refreshes you? That when you spend time with them, you are filled up. They're not a person that time with them starts to drain you, but no, when you spend time with them, you are energized. You are encouraged. You are lifted up. They refresh you. That's such a good word. And when you think of them, you can't help but be thankful. And not only perhaps are you thinking of a person like that, but can you imagine someone who is like that, and then they take it to this whole other level. Not only do they encourage you, not only do they refresh you, but they have a love for God and a love for his people. And they want others to know, they want others to experience this same love and grace of God. Does anyone come to your mind that reminds you of that? For me, I think of my parents. I think of my grandparents. I think of my in-laws. I think over the years of some of the places I've been and some of the churches I've been at and the people who were there that encouraged me. And then most recently, coming here to Life Community Church, I have some of you in mind as well, that you are ones that encourage and that refresh me. And here's the thing, these people would never claim to be perfect. But in our eyes, we know they're not perfect, but we still kind of put them up there. Like, we would think we struggle, but them perhaps not so much. But let me be clear, they do. They are not perfect. And maybe we need to say it kind of this way when you think of them being perfect. You see, Philemon, he was one who was not perfect. Paul, he is one who is not perfect. Whoever that person is that encourages and refreshes you, you can fill in the dots, but they are not perfect. And you are not perfect. Maybe on some sense you might agree, that last one was right, Josh. I'm not perfect. But they, you still struggle with, but they seem to be doing things very well. Maybe they don't struggle as much as I do. Well, a couple weeks before, we had a series about salvation. And if we speak in terms of salvation, Paul and Philemon, they had been saved. They were justified and they had been made right. But also, Philemon and Paul were also being saved. And the word that we used in there was sanctified. That they were still in this process of being and becoming more and more like Jesus. And so you can be saved and justified, but there's also this current process that we are continuing to be made more and more like Jesus. And one day there's this process of glorification where I will be completely in the presence of God. I will be in the absence of sin. And so I have been saved, I am being saved, and one day I will be saved. And so for Paul and Philemon, they were continuing to mature, but there were still some things to be worked out. They were not yet perfect, a little rough around the edges, and you might say that you are still in that process of God working on you, making to be made more and more like him. It says this in verse 10. So this is the appeal. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who has become my son while I was in chains. Verse 11. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. So we get a little more of the basis of this letter. It's written to Philemon, and there is this big ask. And the big ask, it involves this one, Onesimus. Now, Onesimus is Philemon's slave, and he has run away. And it just so happens that as Onesimus has run away, Paul meets this slave in prison, and he shares about the love and grace of Jesus. You see, because God has a way, even when we run, even when we head in this direction, God has a way of just making things happen and bringing things together in only a way that he can do. And as God brings these two together, Onesimus, who has run away, becomes saved, that he's changed and he's transformed, that once perhaps not profitable or useful, now he is profitable both to Paul and to Philemon. And it said here, it's like he is a son now in the faith to Paul. And so it kind of leads us to this question. So what is this appeal? What is the ask? Because Paul does have this authority. He has led this man into salvation and maturing in the faith, but he does not use the authority and influence to demand. It says that he uses this basis of love, but because he wants it to be a decision of the heart. Verse 12 says this, I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So Paul says, here's the ask. I am sending him back. I'm sending him back even though he is my heart. I would rather that he would have stayed with me because of the work and the partnership in sharing the good news. That would have been the easier for him to stay, for him to help, for him to be the one who refreshes and encourages me, and we do that to each other. But he says, I am making this ask, and I do not want to do anything without your consent. You see, there would have been an easier way to just keep them and keep those things as they were. But Paul would make this appeal and this ask. And he says this to Onesimus, I need you to go back. I need you to take this step, and as you go back from the wrong that you have done, I need you to go back, and I need you to ask for forgiveness. Now, this might not be the smoothest path. This might not be the easiest path or the most comfortable, but it's the right thing to do. Now, just this journey alone for this runaway slave to come back would have put his life at risk, just the journey from where he was to head back to Philemon. And the Roman law at that time would have allowed for slaves that would run away, that there could be some very severe punishment. And we don't have time to go back into the culture and some of the comparisons of what slavery has looked like in North America and other places over the years, and how does that compare to what this looked like in this season in the New Testament? But let me just kind of categorize it this way, perhaps in a very broad stroke here, that it was complicated. The whole situation itself is complicated. And yet Paul, in spite of all these complications, is calling this new follower of Christ to take this step, to mature in his faith in this way, to go back and to ask for forgiveness. And I want you to see how this applies even in the relationship. If you see these two people between Paul and Philemon on this next slide, Paul would describe Philemon as one who refreshes, who one is an encouragement, that Paul is a father, and like Philemon is a son in the faith. And just in the same way that Paul had seen Philemon and had impacted his life, we could see on the other hand, this is also how he impacted this one named Onesimus. And that in the same way that he felt like a father and here was a son, that Paul was a father and a son to Onesimus as well. And here is one who encouraged him. And here is one who would refresh him. Do you see those parallels? And Paul says it in just a unique way. Just perhaps, Onesimus, we don't know, but maybe it is. It just so happens that you heading this direction was the very path for God to have us become connected so that you could become saved, so that you could grow and that you could mature in your faith and that God could do what only he could do. And then he's going to ask more. It says this in verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, Philemon, if you consider me a partner, I want you to welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or if he owes you anything, charge it to me. In verse 19, I don't believe it's up there, but it would say, I, Paul, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. And I don't want you to miss this. Because Paul is essentially saying, when you see this man, this one that has wronged you, I want you to see me. And he asks this, I want you to welcome him just the same way that you would welcome me. Paul is not asking for things just to go back to normal. He is asking for grace upon grace upon grace. And what we typically find in Paul's letters is this, that he gives us a description of the great problem that we have of humanity, that we have sinned against God and that we have wronged a holy God. And that causes a debt of wrongs that leaves us without hope unless someone would intervene on our behalf. And Jesus would live a perfect life. And just at the right time that God would demonstrate his love for us, that Jesus would die for us on a cross to pay our debt, that he would take our place. And in his resurrection, it would prove that there would be victory over sin and death. And typically, that is what Paul includes in his letters. And we do not find that in this letter. Instead of that elaboration of the problem of God and humanity, he just gives us a picture. And he says essentially this. He puts a picture and he shows how he intercedes. Philemon, you have been wronged by Onesimus. There is a debt that he owes you. And it is a debt that he cannot pay, but can I stand in between? Can I pay the debt that he cannot pay? Can I intercede on his behalf? And now what I'm asking you to do is not just welcome him and see one just as a slave, but see him as a brother. And that you would extend grace upon grace, more than he could ask and more than he could ever imagine. Can you welcome him into the family? And Paul gives that picture. He paints that same picture of what you see below, of what Jesus has done on our behalf and what Paul experienced himself, that Paul knew that he was wrong, that knew he had sinned against God, and that there was a debt that he could not pay. And he was without hope unless somebody would stand in between, somebody who would intercede to pay the debt that he could not pay, and that would be Jesus, who would pay the debt finally and fully. And he would clothe us with his righteousness, and so that when God looks on us, he sees Jesus' resume, he sees his perfection, and he pays all the debt, and he goes beyond that, not just to pay the debt that we have and the debt perhaps that we currently have, but even the debt and the sin in our future, and he invites us into the family, credited with grace upon grace upon grace. And so Paul paints that picture. Later, he would say to the Ephesians that we are called to be imitators of God, that we are dearly loved and called to live a life of love. And Paul knew that he was dearly loved and that God was still working on him, drawing him to be closer and closer and to be more like Jesus. Is Paul perfect? Not yet, but he's being perfected. It says this in verse 20. So I do wish, brother, that I could have some benefit from you in the Lord. Could you refresh? Could you refresh my heart in Christ? Verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Is Paul stepping too far here, saying, I'm confident? Is he trying to leverage? No, I don't feel that weight. I wonder if it's more this. He knows him. He knows his heart. He knows his desire to be more and more. And perhaps he's thinking, Philemon, you know this is a step, and it may not be an easy step, but I'm confident this is the step that you'll take because you want to know God. You want to be more and more like him. He says this in verse 22. And if I haven't asked enough, just one more thing. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored in you, restored to you in answer to your prayers. I kind of like that part. He kind of says it this way. Oh, by the way, and I will be stopping in, just in case you are wondering. And I know this big ask and this, it just so happened I'll be in the neighborhood. And we can talk, and we can catch up. And maybe you've had that, you know, maybe growing up. I remember times when my parents would ask me to do something, and it's like, yeah, I'll get to that. And they're like, okay. And then you hear the footsteps coming up the stairs, and you know that you haven't cleaned the room just yet, so you start hurrying and getting some of those things done. Well, Paul says, just one more thing. I'll be headed that way. Because Philemon, we don't have all the time in the world, and maybe that's, we need a little more sense of urgency. Because we think there's a step that could be done and should be done, but maybe I'll get to that tomorrow or next week. But maybe there are things that could be done and should be done, and today's the day, not tomorrow. That doesn't mean it won't be easy. He finishes this way, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, he sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I think there's something to note that you'll find even right here in this final list. He lists in here this person named Mark. Now, when one of Paul's first missionary trips, this one, John Mark, was a part of that trip. But midway during this trip, as Paul is going out, Mark decided to say, no, I can't go any further, and he went back home. This caused such a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas because later in a second journey, Paul and Barnabas are ready to head on another missionary visit, and Barnabas was saying, let's bring Mark with us. And it was such a disagreement and such a conflict that Paul said, no, I will go with Silas. You take that guy. You take the one who left early. And so Barnabas went with Mark, and Paul went with Silas, and they parted ways. But yet something happened. And we don't have the full story. And I bet that situation had numerous conversations, and that was probably complicated as well. But something happened to where there was a need to ask forgiveness and to receive forgiveness. And something happened in such a way that this name is included in here, Mark. Because even though that thing happened in the past, something happened in between, and today there is something different in their relationship. To where he'd say, this man brings his greetings as well. And in some of Paul's final letters, he would be again referring to Mark and saying, this is one who encourages me. So even Paul knew firsthand that it's not always easy. And if Paul struggled, perhaps it's not an easy step for us as well. And so as we kind of put the landing gear and wrap things up, let me ask this question. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? And what I think this means for us is, in a broad scope, we need forgiveness. That we need the grace of God to extend in even some of the most complicated areas of our life. That we need God's grace in some of the most complicated situations, in the most complicated areas, in some of the most complicated relationships that we have in our lives. In a very short letter, Paul did not explain a very complicated situation. And maybe you have questions and still have questions about Philemon and Onesimus and what this meant for him to be a slave owner and for Onesimus to be a runaway slave. And if you have those questions, I would say, great. We got some elders here that would be awesome and ready to answer those questions, right? I'll point you in their direction, right? Kind of just pass that off to somebody else, right? But no, it was a very complicated situation. But I want you to see what Paul did. In the midst of a complicated situation, he didn't want something to be missed. He would say, yes, this is very complicated, but don't miss this big thing. There needs to be forgiveness. There's something that happened. There is a wrong that has been committed, and it needs to be made right. So for that one that committed the wrong, he needs to ask for forgiveness, but there also needs to be one who extends that grace and forgiveness. Paul urged them to take a clear step that we need forgiveness here. And the reason I say this is because I bet in this room, you would have a complicated story that you could share as well. That you could tell me something about your family, or maybe you aren't even comfortable saying how complicated and how messy that relationship and that situation is. And often we would rather explain how messy and complicated it is rather than just step back and say, but what is it that could be done, should be done, and needs to be done? And you might say, Josh, you don't understand the whole story. And I'd say, you're exactly right. But God does. He understands. He knows. Paul knew he was asking something very big and it would not be easy. He knew that himself, that we need God's grace, mercy, and help. So we need forgiveness. But just imagine, what would it look like if we would be a people, and we need to be a people who are forgiven. People who are forgiven by God. That which is wrong is made right. And we have one who would stand in between and intercede for us. And not only that we would be forgiven, but we would be a people who would be forgiving. That when we have been wronged, we would be willing to extend the grace and the mercy. That they feel uncomfortable, that they feel awkward, that they feel like they are not worthy, but we would say yes when they would ask for that forgiveness and we would extend it to them. So how about you? Maybe today what we needed was to hear about God's great mercy and his love, and that he extends and offers this forgiveness. And we need to reflect on that and be thankful that we've been forgiven. But I imagine in a room this size, there are those who have not taken that step to be forgiven or to be made right. And for all the celebration that we had last week with baptisms, perhaps there's somebody in this room that said, you know, I know that's my next step, and I haven't taken that step yet, but don't delay. Let us move with urgency. That you could share that with your life group, that you could grab someone here on staff, because when it comes to forgiveness, that is the big step that transforms lives. Church, what if? What if we were a people that we're forgiven. But not only that, what if we were a people that would be so transformed by the love and grace of God that we would not just be a people who are forgiven, but we would also be a people who are forgiving, extending that grace and that mercy that refreshes, that brings life to dead areas, to relationships and places that are so thirsty for something that would restore and refresh. And yet we could be a part of that. What if that was the church that we could be? Would you pray with me? God, we want to say thanks for your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, we thank you that you sent your Son to intercede on our behalf. And God, not only do you invite us to be forgiven, but you call us to be a people that would share that grace, that would share that mercy. Because there are moments when we are the one who has done wrong. But we also find moments when we have been wronged. God, would you help us to remember that grace and mercy that you show us, but that we would not hold that for ourselves, but we would go out and be your hands and feet, refreshing, encouraging, lifting up, just like you have done in our lives. God, would you put that on our hearts? Would you show us the next steps that you call us to do, whether that be to take a step towards you, a step towards others, a step in asking for forgiveness, a step in receiving forgiveness, because you are worthy. And God, we ask this all in your name, and we say thanks for all that you've done. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, and we do sing how great you are. We thank you for your great forgiveness. Would you lead us to accept it, to trust you, and to forgive others as we've been forgiven. We thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning, Lord, and to worship you. And we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, we are so glad that you're here with us this morning. Hey, everything that we do around here is posted at mylcc.info, okay, mylcc.info. We've got stuff going on all the time. But the very next thing that's happening is right over here in the room we call the living room. It's the doors right there. Introduction to serving. If you're new around here, if you've been around a while, but you're looking for a way to get plugged in, this is a great opportunity, introduction to serving. And then last call, okay, last call next weekend, Friday night, Saturday is our marriage retreat. It's going to be fantastic, okay? We've got a lot of folks signed up already, but we know there's some more that could be here next week. So mylcc.info, look at that marriage retreat. There's actually some extra information out on the welcome table as well if you just need a little bit more information. But we're looking forward to that. You want to get signed up for that. Hey, we're so glad that you've been here with us. We'll see you in small groups. We'll see you at the marriage retreat. Have a great Sunday.